All right, Jenna, I have a
Hello.
question for you.
Shoot.
What do you think your want song would be about?
Wow. Are you gonna send me into an Archie dilemma of like what who I am in life?
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to send you into an Archie dilemma. That's why you're the guest on this podcast.
Amazing. I think my want song would be about what I'd be pursuing professionally. Because honestly, do I want to be a baker? Not really. But what do I want? Give
Yes.
me basketball or poetry, show me the way.
You have any big extracurriculars when you were growing up that you sort of had to choose between?
No, because I wasn't like a sports kid.
Yeah.
So like I was just doing humanities stuff and
Yeah.
that was just my main focus.
And then that
So
could
it
all
was
be
never
kind of grouped
tearing me
together.
apart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your I
Yeah.
want song, Louie?
Sorry.
What's your I want
Oh,
song? What
my
would
I
it
want
be?
song? I was thinking about it, and honestly, things are fine with me right now on a day to day. Certainly I've chosen professionally as a creative dude to do stuff that makes it hard to ever feel particularly stable. But I think that my want song would actually be about, I'd love to feel for once, for the last 10 years, I feel like I felt tired. And I feel like I'd love to just not feel tired for like one day out of my life.
Honestly, that's a really great one song.
Can you imagine a musical that starts this way? Just being like,
On a happy note, starting. I just don't want to be tired anymore,
Yeah, I just
please.
don't want to be tired anymore. Roll that theme song. Hello, pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO Riverdale. I'm Louis Perlman, and we are joined today by one of my favorite people in the whole world to talk about Riverdale. It's Jenna Palm. Welcome.
Hello, so honored to be here.
It's great to have you here. Jenna did an episode with us last year. So, just in case anybody is not remembering, Jenna is a pal of mine I met while working at a certain bakery. I'm not going to say which bakery it is in case this encroaches on Jenna's professional life, this podcast, in case something incriminating comes out. But I would say Jenna and I, in a lot of ways, kept each other sane.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And one of we have a lot in common, but one of the main things we have in common is our like complicated relationship with Riverdale.
It's a menace to our lives, but we
It
can't
is.
stop watching.
Well, soon we're going to be forced to.
Yeah, I made a TikTok a few weeks ago saying like the third worst day of my life was going to be when Riverdale ended. And I didn't tag it or anything, but it got kind of popular, and people were so angry about that in the comments. They're like, it should have ended years ago. Yeah, I know that. Do I care?
Well,
No.
this is an internet issue in that people, I feel on social media a lot, think in dichotomies where both things could be true. Like it
Yeah.
should have ended years ago, yes, but also it will be a very hard day when it ends.
Oh yeah. Because like I'm enjoying the season too. It's actually the best since season one, I think.
I agree
I'm
with
having a great
you.
time.
100%. This season is smarter and is taking bigger risks, and it doesn't feel like the writers are phoning it in at all, right?
Yeah. And also Archie is likable. He's just stupid and nice.
It's the
He's
first
kind of
season
great.
where he's being written like a traditional Archie.
Yeah, I really enjoy. I'm waiting for him every episode. He said something. He said he when he went up to Betty and Ronnie, I was like, "Sorry guys, I'm taking a break from like dating. I gotta focus on myself. I'm just not gonna kiss anyone anymore." Like that was so relatable.
It was
Finally, finally, I
hugely
related to
relatable, and it's
Archie.
something he should have done 5 seasons ago.
Yeah, take a step back, work on yourself.
In case you didn't know, we are focusing today on Chapter 131, Archie the Musical. We just started getting into some like actual musical details about the episode, so just wanted to say that. Normally, for our regular listeners, Kate is away on vacay. She will be back once we cover next week, so do not worry, do not fret. Next week's episode might be a little later than normal, but because I'm going on vacay on Saturday, but like don't worry, folks. We will be back. Jenna's shaking her head like, how dare you go on vacay from your Riverdale podcast?
People are waiting,
I know
Louis.
the people demand, but actually, Jenna, you'll be happy to know. It's very weird. Since we've taken a we don't give a shit attitude towards this podcast, we've had more engagement and more listeners.
And on the last season, too.
Well, yeah, it might be a last season thing as well. And there are still some other Riverdale podcasts that I think are doing very well, but there are less this season. It seems
Yeah.
like a lot of the fan-based podcasts dropped off somewhat. But there are a few that are like awesome. I don't throw shade at other Riverdale
No.
fan podcasts. I'm nice. But
Louis,
yeah,
I would never doubt you being nice.
I know that is really one of my key qualities is that I try to keep it sweet, try to keep it nice. Except when I am, I'm happy to be critical of this show.
It needs it at times.
I'd say it needs it all the time.
Yeah.
Like every episode, wouldn't you agree? Even this season, which has been much stronger, every episode still has a moment where I'm like, what the fuck are they doing with these characters?
Yeah, I mean, for most of the season, I'm like, what are you doing with Betty? Betty was like this very independent, like journalist, serial killer hunter, and now it's like she's horny. I don't know,
Yep,
which great.
that's her key characteristic, and she fantasizes about people in a weird jungle.
Yeah, like a good teen girl sexual liberation, great, but that's just like been mostly her one personality trait. Like, come on, that's
Well,
not all Betty is.
I want to talk about the move they did, not this episode, but last episode, how she somehow had access to like mass printing and published that
Yeah.
zine. What do you think about that?
I mean, like, I loved that moment for her, but she was just writing it on a typewriter. Did she just make a bunch of copies? Like,
Well,
how did she do it?
Xeroxing was, it existed, formats of it existed in the 50s, but certainly not for
To
teenagers
that
in high
level,
school.
yeah.
Yeah, that was real weird, I thought. And then also, like, they used the fact that she is like a ace journalist on the show, but didn't, it was like a minor plot point.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into this
All right.
episode. Because I mean, I feel like we should talk about the candy-coated elephant in the room here. Just talking about Betty, how do you feel about this ship that's going on between Betty and Veronica?
Well, first of all, this is like the first we've ever seen Betty and Veronica like communicate for a long period of time since season one, where we're supposed to think they were best friends for multiple seasons and then wouldn't talk to each other for like 5 episodes straight.
Well, that's also the Jughead Archie I issue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like how they're developing it, I think, or at least like the very least, like they confide in each other. They kind of have an understanding. I think that it seems like maybe they're both a little like, I don't know how to do this. And I think it's sweet. I think I'm trying to see if like if this is just Roberto's way of making his musical from like back in the day happen, or just like everyone's a little gay. I
That
thought like
is really interesting that he, yeah, that's a good point. For our listeners that don't know, he wrote a show. What was that called again? Was it called like Archie's Teen Sex Fantasy? I feel like it was called something like that.
it was probably called something odd. I don't remember
Yeah,
though.
it might, I I mean, there was that might have been what it's called or something like that. And then it was about how all of these characters are a little queer. And Archie Comics sent him a cease and desist and then hired him to write for them. Like that was sort of his trajectory, which is quite interesting. And yeah, here we are. And this is probably going to be kind of the end of him working with these characters. He's also officially the creative director still of Archie Comics, but nothing has come of that in many a year now. So this really might be it for him with the characters, and it does seem like he's trying to write kind of the purest, most like joyful version of all of these guys this season. And that involves Betty and Veronica being in love.
And like I think their like love story arc is like it's very sweet. There's like a pureness to it. Or like we haven't really gotten that with a lot of the love storylines in Riverdale. I mean, Choni is doing pretty well. And then Kevin and oh God, what's his love interest name? I can't remember right
Clay.
now. Clay, Kevin and Clay, they're very sweet together. They had some great moments this episode. Like everybody is just like pretty happy. Only one serial killer, like
Well, that serial
you
killer
can't
got
complain.
stabbed. He's currently out of the picture.
But no one's come to replace him yet.
I think that serial killer was sent out somehow by Featherhead and Werther's. That's what I think is happening there. I think they're the big baddies of the season. Yeah.
I
That
mean,
it's
the
gonna
anti-communist stuff too.
it's really scary, right? I mean, they are doing a good job, I feel, that I think we're in a current era politically where there's all these educators and young people who are being persecuted and looked at. You know what? I'm gonna pause for a moment. I'm gonna put on my pee screen because I'm hearing my peas pop.
Yeah, no worries.
I should have just done this, but I was like, I don't really need it. And then I'm like, you know what? I always need it. I always need it. There we go. There we go. Yeah. So, like, I think that in this era when, we're definitely seeing a lot of censorship of books, and like obviously this is like all insane, bizarre, like rampant transphobia, from a lot of conservative governments is really what's going on, and also women's rights are under attack. Like I do think they're doing a pretty good job drawing the parallels to the 50s, and it's kind of a gutsy move for a final season of a show to just be like, yeah, well, this is what's happening on right now.
I mean, they've been covering, like, I'm surprised that they actually included, like, real historical events into the season where, like, it could have easily, they could have been like, ah, this is just Riverdale. We don't talk about what happened in, like, the real world. And I mean, is it covered always the most in the best way? Maybe not, but it is fascinating to see them actually do it.
Yeah, like when they do it, I think they do a pretty good job. It's just that those plot lines come in and out. Like it's not like the entire season was about like civil rights struggle, but the first episode was so focused on Emmett Till. You know what I mean? So yeah, like it's okay, but yeah, it could have been Happy Days, or something like that. Like, did you I know that's I'm dating myself a little bit, but like Happy Days was just like a real squeaky clean sitcom that was made in the 70s, but about the 50s. And was very just like, did not delve into any of that shit.
Yeah, I also like, I want to say, I know it was last episode, but Hiram Lodge communist was not the plot I was expecting.
Best use of Hiram Lodge in many seasons.
Oh, I agree. I was dreading him coming back, but if that was it, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, that rocked. Absolutely. All right, let's do it. I'm glad that we've had a little recap of the season because I've wanted to do that with you. I've been thinking about you while I've been watching through. What did you think of this episode overall? How do you feel about it?
Was like a fun, corny, episode. I felt really bad for Kevin because everybody was just shitting on his music. I mean, it
Totally.
wasn't good, but I had fun watching it. It was probably their best musical episode in terms of like I'm enjoying myself. Yeah, I think everybody's plots all worked really well. Except I love that Jughead just didn't really exist for most of it. And I want to know how hard they had to like force Cole Sprouse into those little dancing bits and singing bits. Because, you know, he doesn't want to do that stuff. But him like dancing on the desk and in the beginning and stuff, I was like, how'd they do
I know
that?
Cole isn't into that. However, he seemed so excited in such a cheesy, hammy way about that opening number. And I'm sure it's because he didn't have to do the rest of it, but he loved it. And it felt, I feel like Cole Sprouse this season in general is just totally in love with this character that they've had him play specifically for this
Yeah.
season, and that's really nice. And then for some reason Reggie also was like, no, I'm not doing this.
Reggie's got basketball to focus on.
Reggie's got
He
basketball to
can't do a
focus on,
musical.
but that guy they hired to play Julian, they make him do whatever the fuck they want. Like, he's like lowest on the ladder, you know.
Yeah. The thing is, I think that actor is having like a great time because I've seen like Lily Reinhart repost some of his stuff and he's just having a great time playing the worst person alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to play the bad guy, absolutely. And in this episode, it is interesting sort of to see him turn into like an alternate universe version of Archie, like almost like that traditional Archie Comics version
Yeah.
of Archie, and play him really, really cheesily into the hilt. Yeah, like that. Okay, so structurally, I thought this episode structurally, I thought what they were trying to do was actually very ambitious, in that the
Yeah.
more the musical numbers continued, the more they diverged from the actual characters. And they were clearly trying to make a statement doing that, right? However, it meant that we had to sit through multiple musical numbers that were kind of bad,
Yeah.
right?
Yes.
And then the characters were like, we don't like these musical numbers. And we were like, well, you know what, as the audience, we don't like them either. Like,
Yeah. The one I thought was so funny was like Clay and Kevin wrote that song, obviously, about like being in love with their same sex partners. And Cheryl and Tony were like, why don't you put this in the musical? There's obviously they're not going to actually perform this for people because it's the 50s.
and then Cheryl getting all mad. Like, if there was a end game where the characters are going to become self-aware and realize they're not supposed to be in the 50s, that would be great. But I just don't see them doing that at this. There's only like five episodes
No.
left now.
They're staying in the 50s. I think the series is ending like that,
Yeah,
which
well,
is like
what Maiden
makes me
Amcheck
kind of
said.
sad.
You know, and Maiden was sort of spoiled it. She said we're staying in the 50s, but we're going to see multiple ends for the characters. So there might be a final episode that might sort of flash around a little bit or play with it being in a multiverse or something like that. But yeah, we're staying in the 50s, which in itself, I love this season, but I don't think that that's particularly a friendly to the fans way to end this series, you know?
No, considering like how we left Riverdale last season, I'm
Yeah, in
like,
very tumultuous
what
place.
happened?
Yeah, they're gonna have to tie up those loose ends. Absolutely. Like, is it gonna end with them flashing back and Riverdale is like a post-apocalyptic comic world? You know, because
Honestly,
really it
I
was,
wouldn't be mad.
I mean, the only thing that I would want from that is it ends on a cliffhanger where it's like Archie Mad Max. And then like they do a reunion season in like 7 years. That's just like crazy hardcore. That's all I would want, you know?
As long as Pops is still standing, I don't care.
Totally. Pops
Whatever,
is forever.
whenever I see Pop Tate, I'm a happy person.
I know, he's such a delight, that actor. Yeah, so weird that set in the 50s, they decided to do this kind of modern musical theater feel. So some of these songs were written by the dude that wrote Be More Chill, which is like,
Okay.
yeah. And then some of them were written by these just like guns for hire songwriters who I couldn't find many credits for them. It almost felt maybe a little like nepotism, like it was someone's friend and they wrote these songs. You know, I'm mad that I didn't write the songs because I wrote an Archie musical that is fucking awesome. So, you know, just to toot my own horn. Actually, listeners, if anybody wants to watch my show, like DM me, I'll send you the link. Like it's a protected link, but like DM me at this point. I don't give two fucks.
Yeah.
Watch my cool Archie show. But yeah, like, do you like, I know that you're a big fan of Mamma Mia. We've talked about this before. I know, Love Dub, close to your heart.
Yeah.
Do you like shows that sound like this? Like musical theater that sounds like this?
Not necessarily. I think a lot of the more contemporary, like teen musicals, I don't love their sounds. Like a Dear Evan Hansen, not a big fan personally. Maybe that's controversial.
No,
It just
not on this podcast.
it's like corny. Like, yes, teenagers are corny, whatever, but corny to like past that point. Or it's like,
Yeah.
this isn't even enjoyable. This is just like, why am I being forced to sit through this?
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that. Like, at first when it started, I kind of felt it had a High School Musical vibe, which I don't mind
Yeah.
because like High School Musical like just is what it is and is very it's very Disneyfied and it's almost feels like a like have you ever seen any like 1930s Depression era musicals? Like, have you ever seen any of those, Jenna?
I've seen a few.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
like
can't remember the name off the top of my head, but
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
those are so cheerful because everything was so bad that they're just completely escapist. So when it started, I
Yeah.
was like, oh, they're kind of going for that kind of High School Musical vibe, which I feel High School Musical owes a lot to like those 1930s musicals. But like, then it got sort of messy. And yeah, it went downhill. I agree. Jenna, for our listeners, Jenna was doing a downhill hand motion, which I agree with. Like I don't need to hear like the opening song about Archie that Archie sang with Julian. That was bad. Like
Yeah.
the song about having, you know, choosing Archie and it being with Betty Veronica and then inexplicably Tony and Cheryl. That was bad. Like there just was a lot of bad musical
Yeah.
numbers to sit through on
I
that.
did like the costumes for that though.
I like the costumes as well,
The
and
Valentine's costumes were cute.
very cute, very cute. And shout out to the fact that Betty was on tambourine and Veronica was on keyboards, which is always I'm always excited to see the Archies play their proper instruments on the show.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, it's almost like the real Archie comics.
I know. Yeah, seriously. I mean, that's another thing I want to bring up too. This is not the only Archie musical we're getting this year because there's the Bollywood one that's coming out. Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
in the fall. So that's kind of wild to me that we're getting two in 1 year that are like these original Archie musical projects. And I f have a feeling like the Bollywood one is going to feel like w lovely traditional Archie comics, and we're probably really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing the trailer for that. I was like, wow, Archie resurgence
I
in
know.
the
Well,
year
Archie's really, really
2023.
popular in India. That Archie, like India's Archie comics is like maybe its biggest market, I believe, is India. They love Archie. So I love that they're making that movie. I think it's going to be totally fun.
Yeah.
And better than this. I did
Yeah.
like how Archie was described as a poorly defined main character.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the problem the writers have been having for 7 seasons with him. So, you know, I like how meta the show's getting. I liked it, you know, in the last episode, they were like, oh, Miha had been on for 7 seasons. And Cheryl was like, the first season was wonderful, but after that, it really went downhill.
They know their audience.
Yeah, they know their audience. Absolutely. Then we had that love ballad with Kevin and Clay, the
Yeah.
which was boring. Like, yeah. Boring, 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 boring. Oh yeah. I loved how they gave Cole Porter a shout out, but
Yeah.
didn't use a Cole Porter song.
I love that Veronica has to name every 5 people she knows from Hollywood in each episode. If she doesn't name
Yes.
drop somebody, that's not Ronnie.
It was a little weird though that in the past she's been like my Uncle Orson, which is like clearly supposed to be Orson Welles, but she's not flat
Yeah.
out saying it. Like
Yeah.
she's done that. And then in this one, she was like Cole Porter, the songwriter. And then they didn't use a song. What?
They probably assumed most of the fans of Riverdale would pick up on that.
Totally. Absolutely. But like Cole Porter wrote pretty songs. Like just throw one of them in and have those two actors sing it. Like whatever, you know? Like
It would have worked.
it would have been fine. She also could have, on the other side, she could have just been like, my uncle Cole will write a song, and we would have all assumed she was talking about Cole Porter, but it could have been more in that nebulous space, you know? But instead, she was like very
Yeah.
clearly, I wonder if. No, that doesn't make any sense. I was going to say, I wonder if they were planning on using a Cole Porter song. Maybe. And then it wasn't working and they replaced it with something else. Yeah.
Could be. Maybe there'll be a doc that comes out and we'll finally know all
I mean, I hope there's
eventually.
a tell-all book about this, the creation of the show. I think that'd be so funny.
I would be the first person to read it.
Yeah, I really, there's so much for this podcast that we've had to surmise, like or assume that we don't know. I mean, the only things that we really know is we know that the show is written very fast, and they've said in interviews that they very often don't come up with the endings of seasons as they're writing through and producing, which I think is been a major problem for the show, like obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when they're all whodunit mysteries and they're like, we don't know. Okay, the Black Hood is Hal
Who
Cooper.
knows?
Okay, whatever.
Jughead's dead, but he's not.
Yep, Jughead's dead, but he's not. Oh, well, we're gonna write Jellybean off the show. Like Jellybean's crazy
I
now.
forgot about
Jellybean's a
Jellybean.
psycho. Like, all right. The next thing I have on my list to talk about, definitely, Jenna, feel free to stop me if there's anything I'm missing that is really like burning for you here. I really loved when, after they sang the queer love ballad, how Cheryl said, "You captured the longing of a queer interracial relationship in the 1950s."
Very on the nose.
Yeah, that was
They
amazing.
keep doing that. We're just like, wow. As if like the audience is smart enough to figure that out.
Yep, but we heard it. Okay, great. Now we know.
We had to hear it. I will say, what I have loved this episode, KJ Apa's like little dancing to like all the whenever he's singing, it makes me so happy. He looks so goofy.
KJ is such a joyful yet terrible dancer. And this is the
Yeah.
last of us getting to really see him dance around unless they do something. But that's been one of the highlights of having him on the show is his dancing.
When he and Julian were singing like the duet, and he was just, Julian was kind of just standing there, and he was just, moving his hand around. Like, Archie's into it.
Like, this is, I don't know. I think that there's a real goofy weirdo inside of KJ Apa. I think we've seen that in
Oh,
his
absolutely.
social media. And I'm a little sad that that wasn't unleashed as much on the show because we see glimpses of it, like his little weird dancing and stuff like that.
I would have liked Archie so much more if they just let him be weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had to cause all this drama with a character that. The whole point of the character is that he's a goof that, you know, that is like the center of the town and is a bit of a stable force, that he's always just going to be a like a goofy dude. So it did, yeah, it didn't work for Archie. So yeah, this has been working better. I like that we got that nice scene with Archie and Juggy in the and Pops. That was for me as a fan kind of
Yeah.
important and felt really good.
Because again, they're supposed to be like best friends, or at least have a background. So for Jughead to be supportive and then take the rest of his food,
Yes.
it's nice to see them on brand.
Yep. And also to take Archie seriously instead of being like, oh, you're
Yeah.
dope. just being like, yeah, you know, these are the things you need to be thinking about. It's really understandable that you're having such a hard time. Like, that was so sweet, you know. I feel like for the entire series, they've kind of used their friendship only when it's convenient, and I kind of hate that.
Well, because like for most of the seasons, it was like, here's Archie and Veronica, and here's Betty and Jughead, and they'll interact with every other character, but not with each other.
Absolutely,
I'm like,
absolutely. It
it never
felt,
needed to be like that.
yeah, it feels like it's always been very hard to get them in the same scene together. Like, it's a struggle for the writers when that's the core four. That's who we care about the most, you know? That's friends forever. Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead, friends forever.
Okay.
Come on. Okay,
That's
big.
how I want the series to end.
It, that is, I'm sure it's gonna end on the four of them. I mean, come on. Yeah. And then Cheryl's gonna shoot them all with a bow and arrow, and that'll be the end.
Beautiful.
Here's a question for you. I think this might open a real can of worms discussion here. How do you feel
Ooh.
about all that stuff with Kevin's mom?
Okay, we've never seen Kevin's mom before, so
Nope.
very exciting to have a Kevin's mom reveal. I mean, like, to I didn't even know, maybe it was mentioned in the past, I didn't know that Tom was kicked out. So whatever was going on there,
No,
messy,
that was
but did they
not.
even mention that before?
No.
So every bit of that, I was just like, what's going on?
Well,
I don't know.
yeah.
I love that, like, she had that little, like, I know who you really are discussion. That kind of came out of nowhere, though. Like, this, she could have just said, Kevin, like, this divorce has nothing to do with you. That's it.
Well, if that scene had been written with Kevin and Tom, I feel like it would have been more
That would have
meaningful.
been better.
Yeah, because we've seen Kevin and Tom interacting for this whole season and for the entire show. But this mom, it felt like she came from another TV show and all of a sudden is a character on this show and we were supposed to care. Like, who's this woman?
She just moved in. I don't know.
They
But
mentioned.
like Kevin and Tom have a. Go ahead.
Oh,
Sorry.
no, it's all good. Yeah, no, it's just. So, just to fill us in, I don't know if you remember this, Jenna, but they mentioned his mom once, many seasons ago when Tom was
Yeah, she was in
dating.
the army.
Yeah, she was deployed when Tom was dating Mayor McCoy. Remember that? Remember Mayor McCoy? Shout out to Mayor McCoy.
Shout out to Josie McCoy. Where
I
is
know.
she?
Remember the spin-off that never happened? That would have been cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that
I would have
sure
liked
ended with
that.
it. That sure was a backdoor pilot where the door closed. But yeah, so that's the only other time she's been mentioned, and now like we have to get into the weeds about them and their divorce? No, get out of here. Yeah.
Kevin and Tom have like a nice relationship or have in the past. So if they were able to just like leap back into growing off of that, that would have been way more impactful of a scene than just this random woman. Like, sorry, Kev. Whoops.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, it was very weird. I totally agree with that. Yeah, and we're never going to see her again. Goodbye. That's it for her.
No.
Yeah, you know,
We're
she's
never going to hear about the divorce again.
no, I don't. I think you're right. I don't think this is going to be for the last five episodes or whatever we have now of the show. I don't think we're going to hear about it anymore. I think you're totally right. Yeah, like, speaking of which, though, do you think we're going to get more into Archie's poetry in the last few episodes?
Hope so. I like, you know. It's be start to become like an integral part, and also like pulling from that season one, am I a musician? Am I a football star? I would love to see him have that like full circle moment and maybe hear him feel comfortable sharing his poems to his friends. And also, I
Actually,
guess throughout the whole season he's had this poetry side gig of writing to girls.
Yes, of
So
course he is, because he's a fuck boy. But
he's
prediction, this entire series might end on a poem by Archie. That
Oh
might
my
be how this
God.
ends. Yeah, with him reading it to everybody, and then us seeing flashes of everybody while he's reading it. That might be the final scene of this series.
Honestly, that could be a really sweet send-off, actually,
Yeah, it might be.
if
I
it's
mean,
like a
I'm gonna
decently
cry no
written
matter
poem.
what, but it might be a good reason to cry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I did cry at the end of this episode. I thought all of them coming together for Kevin was like sweet. And it really hit me, and I'm like, I'm not gonna see these characters for much longer on my
I
TV.
agree. I agree. It didn't make me cry, but I only think that's because I'm exhausted. But
Yeah.
I agree, Jenna. The musical number, most of the musical numbers I thought were not very good in this episode, but then that last musical number was gorgeous, and seeing them all come in and sing
Yeah.
and take it seriously, that's when musicals can work really well, in my opinion, is when they have to express these sorts of feelings that can't be expressed, like, on like from just like a dramatic scene or from prose, so that was cool. And I
Yeah,
agree.
I thought it was just sweet.
It was really sweet. I agree. And like, we aren't going to see our pals soon, and to see them all in a room singing such a pretty song and then having a group hug, that felt actually very respectful of the cast and respectful of us as the audience, who's suffered through so much with these guys.
Yeah. And also, I must say, like, seeing Midge on my screen, so happy that she doesn't have that, like, tragic death in the 1950s. Like, I just remembered, I was there somewhere, I saw the scene of her after, what show was it? Carrie. I'm like, oh,
Harry, yep.
damn. That was really rough for Midge. So I hope she ends up happy.
Well, the show's at its worst when it doesn't have respect for its characters. And a lot of the
Yeah.
characters, I'd say, got a real short end of the stick over this series. Over the series, I would say Midge, Dilton,
Ethel.
Ethel, 100% Ethel. This is such a great season with Ethel, which rocks. Other characters who got the short end of the stick, I would say Archie. Unfortunately.
Pussycats.
Who?
The Pussycats.
Yes, the Pussycats, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like,
They never really got any redemption, though.
yeah, I mean, they had that one episode that was really well written and quite nice, but didn't yeah, it didn't give them what they deserve, which is just to be like normal characters on the show. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and like also like something about that final number is that I had a pretty close-knit group of friends in high school, and I went to a high school that was really small. And like this, in a way, weirdly kind of reminded me of my high school experience. And that kind of surprised me from it. I was like, yep, I kind of remember these feelings actually of having, for me, high school was a bit of a womb, and college felt like a real, like, all right, you're in the real world now. Things are crazy, So this was cool in that way.
Now, one of the rare times that they write like feelings in high school pretty accurately.
That's true. Yeah. Like, sort of these basic feelings of longing and that time is moving forward, and like you actually can't control it, so you really just have to like do your best to sort of feel your way through it, I guess.
Yeah. Right, Louie, I didn't ask you. What were your feelings on the Betty Veronica
Oh.
feeling extravaganza?
Well, I agree with you, Jenna, that I think it's really well written. And I agree with you that there's an element to it that feels exciting and exploratory from the characters that feels quite real to me. And I like the idea of Betty and Veronica being an endgame couple, to be honest. I think I've always said this. I think they're both too good for Archie. And
Absolutely.
I think that Archie is this nebulous guy where it's kind of a cool idea to have him go off on this quest for self-discovery and for Betty and Veronica to be there in a romantic way to support each other. I don't think it's being written as queer baiting. So I'm cool with it. I think that there's a texture to it that I really enjoy, and feels very loving of the characters. So I like it.
Yeah, like the scenes are written like very intimately when it's just the two of them talking and like expressing their feelings and actually being communicative, which is like a crazy thing for a character in Riverdale to do.
Yeah, but I do have to say that whenever a character on Riverdale is communicative and kind to another character, Kate and I always take note of it because when it happens, it really sticks out and is such a surprise. So, yeah.
Yeah, like Veronica saying, like, hey, I know you like Archie. He and I kissed. Like, I'm sorry. Which could have, oh, they could have used that a while ago. And just like Betty being like, oh, no, it's like, it was just so nice for it to not be this whole dramatic thing of them just having like a real conversation.
Absolutely. And I was angry a few episodes ago when they almost kissed and then didn't kiss. Because
Yeah,
that
when
felt,
Molly Ringwald.
yeah, Molly Ringwald interrupted them with her wonderful acting because she's very good on this show. But yeah, like to have this and this that her their musical number end in a kiss was kind of spectacular. And it's a long way from when they kissed in the first episode of season one.
Yeah,
So this is cool
that was
stuff.
a queer baiting kiss.
That was a queer baiting kiss. This feels more like a queer inclusive kiss. And I think has something to do somewhat with Lily Reinhart coming out as well. So that's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm into it. Yeah. For me, that's the episode. Any other like final thoughts on it, Jenna?
I don't think so. I think we covered most of what stuck out to me, at the very
Yeah.
least. I watched it 12 hours ago, or more than that, so half of it's out of my brain by now.
Yes, as is the Riverdale way. So we have from Kate a power and a crush list. So
Oh.
we'll do Kate's first, and then we'll do mine, and then we'll talk about them. So
Yeah.
Kate says the power list is Kevin Keller and Principal Featherhead. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And her crush list was Archie. I guess she liked him this episode because he was such a cute doof. She normally doesn't put Archie on her
Yeah.
crush list, so.
I can't blame her.
And Zaddy Keller, who she loves. She loves that actor, so. My power list was Mrs. Keller, because we're never gonna fucking see her again, and all her shit she did, so whatever. And Kevin. And my crush list was Betty and Veronica.
Yeah. I think all the crushes are very, very secure. But Principal Featherhead, he's making moves. He came off as like the very like I like how he was acting very like, oh, you know, because we had the communist scare, like we shouldn't put this on. Like he wasn't doing his whole like menacingly evil bit for that one part. He was trying to act kind to Kevin, but you know, he had the whole
Well,
menacingly evil bit inside.
very often I would say that style of conservatism of playing it safe, which can be so repressing to people, often is played as playing, quote unquote, playing it safe. Like there's these safety reasons why XYZ
Yeah.
needs to happen. And I thought that was a really cool scene to have because he was being, nice to Kevin on the outside, but on the inside, he's just trying to, keep Kevin gayness down, you know,
Oh
really
yeah,
in his
because
day.
did he have the list that like was given to Cheryl? Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, just last episode. Yeah. And now he's trying to like being quote unquote nice to Kevin. I don't think so, Principal Featherhead. Yeah, like Principal
No,
Featherhead, it's
we see
very
through you.
interesting that the big baddie of the season isn't really a serial killer. It is conservatism. It's quite cool.
Yeah, it's nice to not have a serial killer or hear the word serial killer genes.
Well, yes, he's that stupid. Oh, my timer's going off. We're at
Ooh.
45 minutes, which is fine. Because
Amazing.
we're just wrapping up here. Yeah, no, I do definitely agree with that. And then if you just think about the history of these characters. Oh no, I knocked my mic. Oh no, I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry. When you think about the history of these characters, and you think about how clean cut and how, you know, quote unquote moral they were for such a long time in a way that was maybe somewhat repressive for the kids reading them. This is sort of
Yeah.
really interesting about face to make them kind of a statement on liberation and being yourself. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, hopefully kids one day, if they've read Archie comics, can just watch the last season of Riverdale and get a feel for like, oh, hey, there's more than one dimension to these characters.
Yeah, well, we're gonna be the like cool aunts and uncles for people now that the show's ending, where there will be like the 15-year-old in your life, and you'll be like, yeah, just watch season one and season seven, the end. Like,
That's all you need to know.
that's all
Because,
you
like,
need
the
to
thing is,
know.
you don't even need to know about the past seasons to really understand any of season seven, besides, like, the very beginning where Jughead's like, whoa, we're stuck in the 50s. And Tabitha just takes that right away.
Yeah, like there's going to be some new characters. Like, oh, okay, now there's Tabitha and Fangs, and there's a different
Oh,
Reggie,
yeah.
and but you know, who weren't around, and what happened to the Pussycats, you know. But other than that, whatever. Yeah, you don't need to know anything else otherwise.
I thought Jason Blossom was dead. Who's Julian?
Yeah, oh, a different guy. All right, a different redhead jerk. That's fine. Well,
They're all the
Jenna,
same.
as per usual, it was such a pleasure having you on. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, I'm so happy to do it, Louis. I don't have anybody else to talk about Riverdale
I
with,
know.
so.
Jenna, do you want people to follow you on Twitter and stuff?
Sure, if they want to, where I
Yeah. I
occasionally
mean,
tweet about Riverdale.
yeah, Jenna tweets about Riverdale a lot and a lot of other really, really, really fun. Sort of pop culture-y things. I love actually Jenna's Twitter feed's one of my favorite Twitter feeds on the internet. So I know.
Wow.
I mean, and as long as Twitter is existing for the next 2 weeks, you might as
Yeah,
well before it
follow
like
me.
disappears. How can people follow you?
My Twitter is at Jenna Hansel. It's like Hansel and Gretel, but with two L's. And it's public. It'll probably be a lot of tweets about the Barbie movie. So that's how
Yes,
you know it's me.
which we are seeing together on opening night. So
We,
exciting. Oh my
oh yeah.
gosh. Well,
Gonna
I
be the
want to.
best night of the year.
It's probably going to be the best night of the year. I agree with that. So, special thanks always to our wonderful editor, Angela Mercado, and to our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz. If you want to write back and give us any feedback about the episodes, we love it. You guys have been doing that a lot lately, and we really, really appreciate it. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can reach out to us in any of those ways. Yeah, and we'll be back with Kate next week. But let's give one more big thanks to Jenna Palm. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right,
All right.
pals and gals, we'll see you soon. Bye.